Hi everyone, this is a podcast training for therapists working at WiseMind DBT. And the purpose of just doing a quick podcast version of training and getting you onboarded here at the clinic is just to give you some general pointers and tips. So let's work through what happens when a client usually calls in to get services. Usually those calls come in through either Psychology Today, through my link, and someday through your link. Hopefully you'll decide to put your Psychology Today profile up as well. But mostly, right now anyway, they're coming in through my link. Also, they find us on Google, and they find us sometimes on Facebook. So an inquiry is usually a parent asking about a daughter and wanting to have her seen. Sometimes it's a partner wanting to have his or her partner, you know, seen. And sometimes even grandparents. Now, a lot of people, of course, want to use their insurance because it's less expensive to them. That's super understandable. But until you move beyond either the LPCIT or the APSW phase, which is considered an interim licensure phase, we're not able to have you on insurance boards yet. It's just simply how that works. So we work off a cash scale. The minimal rate is $45. The maximum has recently been increased to $180. In your reimbursement pack and agreement as a therapy consultant, you were given a grid to give you an idea of what could I expect in terms of reimbursement if I see someone on a commission basis. And I also highlighted areas where it seems most typical to expect people to report their income. Once in a while we get lucky and someone may be very blessed is usually what they tell me. We're blessed, and yet we do have to pay at the higher amount. Now, when it comes to fee negotiation, this is something, relatively speaking, I'd like to be reasonably hands-off on. However, if you're getting a young lady in, let's say, who's going to be doing individual with you once a week, and you really want her to go to group, well, that's another $75 is the base fee for group. So let's say it's $160 to $180 plus another $75. That may be money that for the well-to-do but not extraordinarily well-to-do may be a bit prohibitive of getting that person into services. So I tend to go through a bit of a values adjustment, weighing pros and cons, and starting to think about, okay, well, could we make a bundled rate for a case like this that's both fair to us but also sustainable to keep somebody in treatment, ideally around 6 months. Some people may stay in treatment a year. They may not stay in group that whole time, but they are probably going to be seeing you fairly long term. That's been my experience. Most people seem to see me anyway 6 months, a year and a half, and then maybe do some maintenance things. So I'm not saying essentially weekly every year. Sometimes we step down. Now, you're going to have some cases that start, and the young lady, for example, is really just not feeling it, or maybe she's experienced a lot of rejection from other therapists, or is feeling a lot of pressure from parents, for example, to come. And this could go for anybody, not just a young lady. And, you know, that case, while I think it's like super valid to be using motivational enhancement, you know, validating the valid, meeting the client where they're at, while instilling hope, you know, sometimes we won't be able to keep them. It just doesn't become the right fit or the right time. Sometimes it's happened with some of the younger kids that I've seen that are struggling, let's say, more with ADHD than they are so much with some of the other things that we treat. And it just seems to be not the best fit. So what the goal there is you keep the door open. You know, you let them know, hey, not going anywhere. You know, let's let some time pass. Maybe let's see how the school year comes up and see if you'd like to come on back in then. Other options for you to work with clients might be just working with the families. Totally totally valid way to go about things, right? A little harder with married couples, because if one partner who's supposed to be, quote unquote, the identified patient knows that somebody else is going to therapy about them, that can feel a little weird. So that takes some finesse, right? That the partner really kind of has to own their piece of therapy. But, you know, for a teenager, particularly for a younger one, maybe the parents or the grandparents are coming in for some skills training. Completely useful. I think we all know the power of family involvement. So there's a couple different ways that we end up with seeing clients. But again, we've got the sliding fee scale for cash that you guys will be working on until you are licensed as independent practitioners. And some insurance companies do require even then a few years experience to get on their boards. So just want to be kind of above board with y'all on that and what that looks like for private practice. I'm finding that many families in our area are willing to private pay as long as it's something that is manageable. And even though they are seeing you in a interim licensure status, we can also do a statement for them, a health savings statement, health savings account statement for medical services rendered, because you are under my clinical supervision. And that can be something that their HSA account could reimburse them for. Their private insurance company won't do that, okay? Private insurance company requires that it be from me. So those are just some ideas. There's so much to share with you guys, you know, that's why I'm thinking about doing some teeny tiny little podcasts here and there, just to give you some snippets to make sure I'm telling everybody the same thing, because it may be that I get lost. Oh, did I tell her that? Oh, I'm not sure. All right, so HSA account statements can be received. I'm going to have to do the invoicing and the billing to our private pay clients. Once they pay Wise Mind, then I can pay you your commission based upon what came in. So you may have seen Sally, let's say, in July, but their family didn't pay until end of August. Well, that's when you would start seeing that commission statement. And that's when you look at your time cards, that'll make a lot of sense. It's important that you always keep copies of all of the payment statements that I give to you guys. I cannot emphasize this enough. I want you to be in touch with a tax professional who can talk to you about quarterly taxes. Am I required to file quarterly self-employment taxes? If so, at what threshold? Quarterly, of course, four times a year. We don't need the IRS getting pissed off at everybody. You will get what's called a 1099 MISC, M-I-S-C. At the end of the year. You're actually going to get it after close of the fiscal year, which is 12/31. It is due to you by March 31st. So that's what you'll have if you earn with me $600 or more in that calendar year. If you have not earned that, then you will not be getting a 1099 and then nothing to worry about. But I think with the amount of groups we've got going on, you guys, and the fact that groups are paid fixed rate a lot quicker to you all, be it either as a first skills trainer, like the primary lead, or a second, you know, the money should be adding up. So I'm thinking everybody's probably going to end up with a 1099 this year. We keep getting lots of referrals. Communication to me is really important because it's not unusual, at least right now. Here we sit at summer 14th, 2020. I am getting inquiries almost a daily basis. So fielding a lot of those. I'm trying to put my own people on a wait list for about a month, maybe more, because I want to do this administrative stuff right. So I know, as usual, a little bit of rambling, but I hope it's helpful. And we'll see if some other training methods work well, including but not limited to using therapy notes, our electronic billing record. Thanks. Bye-bye.